It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Hope you're having a safe drive in this morning. Do be safe out there on the roads. We love all the love all our listeners. We love everybody in Atlanta, whether you listen to us or not, but especially love our listeners. And I want you to make it arrive alive and all that kind of good stuff. The day is going to be very busy today for Hugh and I. We have, in about 45 minutes, Dan Quinn, head coach of the Falcons, will join us live. It is Wednesday. It is Flowery Branch Day. And we will talk with Coach about all those big issues that we're about to start to chop up here. You know, coming back from that defeat on the Browns, looking ahead to Dallas, the return of Deion Jones, other health issues on the club, playoff race, and all that kind of stuff. Also today, because of the news last night, with Brian Snicker being named NL Manager of the Year at 8:40 this morning, Brian Snicker will join us live and we'll talk with the manager of the Braves, the newly minted NL Manager of the Year. But first to the Falcons and some of those topics that we're going to get into with Coach Quinn. Noticing, Hugh, last night that the official depth chart for the game has been released for the Cowboys game. And right there at middle linebacker, first string Foye Oluokun, second string Bruce Carter, and 45 Deion Jones listed as third string. Now, whether he plays, boy, is it wonderful to see Deion Jones' name back on the depth chart.
Yeah, man. I think that, you know, he'll probably get some warm-ups, probably be out there. He'll be the emergency linebacker. That's going to be tough, though, because, like, I guarantee you that Coach Quinn is kind of in a situation where he wants to play him, but he has to do what's best for his player. You know what I mean? He's struggling with that because, you know, he's probably looking at him at practice and he's around there. He's looking good. You know, he knows what he can do and he knows that he needs him. He needs a body. He needs somebody that's going to be an impact player. And you want to put him out and make sure he's right, because if he's not right, then you look like the biggest idiot on the planet.
Now, you want to trust the doctors and you want to trust the player. And if the player and the doctors say to you, Hugh, hey, the doctors say, hey, he's fine, he's 100, he's ready to go. And the player says, I'm fine, I'm ready to go. Now, and I'm not saying that, but I see where you might be a little bit gun-shy on two fronts. One is because you want to be, as you said, in your mind 100%, but also because of what happened to Keanu Neal in the opening game.
Well, not only that, Deion Jones is a gamer. I can almost guarantee you, John, Deion is probably all in Coach's ear. Coach Quinn, yo, Coach, I feel good, you know, trying to show him at practice that he can go. Mm-hmm. Look at me, Coach. Look, I can go, Coach. Coach like, yeah, you do. And Coach is sitting over there like, yeah, you do look pretty good. You look like he can play. But nah, because I'm going to need him. You're going to need him down the stretch. Mm-hmm. You're going to need him for Thursday night football.
Yeah, but and this is why it's such a complicated issue. The Thursday night game against New Orleans ain't going to mean much if you don't win this week. I mean, that's just a fact of the matter. I mean, because you don't win this week, and you are behind such an incredible eight ball.
You are behind eight ball, John. But when you look at, and I'm being optimistic here, because you're right. You lose this game, then we're probably more than likely we're looking at draft picks. We're looking at draft order. But when you look around the NFC, what the Redskins are 6-3. Eagles are 4-5. Right now tied with the Cowboys. Well, if the Cowboys win, they'll be 500. You got a chance. It's a slim chance. You can lose one more. But damn it, you better run the table. You have to run the table then.
Yeah, you're a game and a half out of the playoffs at the moment. All right, so you're a game and a half back of Minnesota. Boy, if you won last week, you'd be a half game back. It'd be a different story, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, listen, and I'll be the first to tell you, you don't want to lose no more games. You don't. But if you do, then in a perfect world, the one you want to lose is Baltimore, to be totally honest. You would want to lose the Baltimore game. But the Dallas game, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to lose that, but you could lose one. Don't want to lose one, but you could lose one.
Yes, you could lose one from now on. You might be able to actually get away potentially with losing two.
No, we don't even want to talk that. We don't even speak that in existence.
Because you're 4-5. 9-7 might get you in.
Yeah, 9-7, but we don't want to speak that in existence.
See, the thing about 9-7, the problem with 9-7 is, and it may still be with 10-6, but certainly with 9-7 is tiebreakers. And And while at the moment the Falcons have a pretty good conference record, they did lose the head-to-head to Philadelphia, and that could come back to bite you. So, I mean, you don't really want to get into a tiebreaker situation if you can avoid it. But, again, of course, if we're talking about 9-7 in tiebreakers right now, everybody in Atlanta, me included, would take that. I mean, you would just, you'll take your chances with tiebreakers to get to 9-7. That means you went 5-2 down the stretch. So I understand what you're saying. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's, man, listen, that's going to be a tall order. Because I'm looking at the schedule. The Rams right now look unstoppable. Excuse me. Not the Rams, but they look unstoppable. But the Saints unstoppable. I know y'all didn't want to hear that a couple weeks ago when I was spewing it. Didn't want to hear it. But, man, listen. They look unstoppable.
All I can say is if that team makes it to our town, stinks up our town for a week in February, I am going to be the world's biggest fan of whoever they're playing. Go Steelers, go. Go Bolts, go. Go Chiefs, go. I mean, I will adopt a team like nobody's business.
I know how you feel about the Saints. I know how you feel about them. But the only thing I think I'm going to probably eat good that week because there's going to be a lot of people down here cooking gumbo. That's all. Listen, that's me personally. I'm not trying to – I know I probably made some folks mad at me by making that comment, but I ain't had no good gumbo in a while. That's all I'm saying. I mean, but I'm not going to be rooting for the Saints. I just be rooting for a good old plate of gumbo. That's it.
We got you,
Hugh. That's it. That's all I want. That's all I want. That's all I want. That's all I want. That's all I'm saying.
I'd rather have a Chicago dog, all right? I'm just saying, okay?
I'm just saying. Drew Brees is on a mission. I mean, I just, you know, and I'm not trying to make anybody mad by saying that.
I know, the guy's
I'm just calling it like I see it.
You're making everyone mad, Hugh.
I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm just, I watch football and I enjoy the game of football. And right now, Drew Brees looked like he's on a mission to get one more.
I'm looking forward to a big old bowl of Kansas City chili.
I'll take some chili too. Listen,
Kansas City barbecue.
Like I said, I'm going to eat good that week. Because if it's the Kansas City Chiefs and the Saints, That's a win-win for me.
Oh, well, it's a win-lose for me, but I get you. I mean,
I'm talking about from a personal eating standpoint, John.
Uh-huh. I'll take barbecue and Chicago dogs.
Because you know them Kansas City Chiefs fans will come out and they're going to be barbecuing.
Los Angeles doesn't have food. Have you ever noticed that? There's no food in
Los
Angeles.
They're bringing Chinese food from St. Louis.
Wraps.
Sushi.
Sushi.
They ain't gonna bring no In-N-Out out here.
What they gonna bring? What's those?
A pop-up shop.
No, what's those? Little shots? Wheatgrass shots.
Wheatgrass
shots and things of that nature. Shawarma.
We'll be healthy after the holidays. Let's go.
I'm just saying, gumbo with like real crab meat and stuff.
Making me mad, you.
I'm just being honest.
When you'll be there eating too?
Stuff. No, I won't. Oh, absolutely.
You
not.
Will diet that week.
I'd be happy to take you around.
If somebody was feeding you, you would probably go.
What do you like
to eat now?
What does Pittsburgh have? Would Pittsburgh have like pierogies or something? I mean, is there a Pittsburgh food?
Chili?
No, I don't think Pittsburgh. Cincinnati is a chili town.
Okay.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's like I said, pierogies. I have no idea. There's got to be a Pittsburgh. Because I know Philly's cheesesteak, but I don't know what Pittsburgh. Somebody can tell me what Pittsburgh is. But
what
whatever
Atlanta,
the food is.
Soul food?
Huh?
What is Atlanta? Soul food?
Chicken and waffles, right, I guess. I don't know. I know
chicken and waffles.
We know
LA
San Diego.
Thing.
It's an LA thing.
San Diego's got fish tacos.
I would say Atlanta's probably barbecue. But it's not as famous barbecue as like it is in like Kansas City or something like that.
Carolina going to be mad at you, just saying.
Carolina gonna be mad at barbecue?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Carolina when I think barbecue.
Oh,
that's just
Lexington,
me.
Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina barbecue.
I don't think barbecue when I think Carolina.
Yeah, that kind of sweet, vinegary mustard sauce that they do in Carolina. Yeah, they're pretty good. That's a beside here. We're trying to avoid having to have any andouille sausage in February, which just, you know, you don't want to have it. I'm just saying.
No, you don't want that to happen. But right now, you are really not in control of your destiny. Right now, and you would be doing yourself a huge favor if you can knock the Saints off. That's a tall order. Not overlooking the Dallas Cowboys because they're going to come in here and they're going to be trying to roll too. But that game against the Saints looms large. It looms super large.
And doesn't it make you mad? We had the game won.
You match up well with the Saints. I will say that. And you caught them early.
Game won. Look how much different it is if you tackle Drew Brees. In the first time you put him.
You know what? You did good self-edit, John Freeman. Yeah. Because you know Darryl was not there to catch it.
I know.
he was not. Darryl was not in position to catch that one. But, yeah, you match up well with the Saints. No, don't. The Saints are running away with everybody else, but I think that the Falcons do match up well with them, and it'd be one of those games where, you know, it's going to be a back-and-forth affair. No question about that.
So before we get our headers, because that's a week after, of course, it's Thanksgiving night, and next week we'll be talking Thanksgiving week. Can't believe Thanksgiving's a week from tomorrow.
Yes.
So two games back-to-back real quick, and that's why we're talking about Deion Jones here this morning as we look ahead to the interview with Dan Quinn at 7:45 this morning. A couple of major interviews on the morning show today. Head coach Dan Quinn at 7:45. Newly minted NL Manager of the Year, Brian Snicker, live at 8:40. First things first, the Falcons in this hour, and then, of course, getting into the Braves in the next hour. The Falcons taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Here's a Cowboys team that comes in, having beaten the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm just thinking about the Braves. Having beaten the Philadelphia Eagles, Zeke Elliott. Now, let's go back to life. Let's do a little flashback here. Falcons play the Cowboys, and we remember that they had all sorts of offensive line issues. They were putting in, like, you know, Joe the Garbage Man at left tackle and Adrian Claiborne.
Diamond girl.
Adrian Claiborne is feasting. He had the 6 sacks of Dak Prescott.
Yes.
Let's keep in mind, though, that Zeke Elliott was suspended and did not play in that game.
Yeah, it's going to be a different animal. Zeke feasted yesterday on the Eagles. So he's going to come here. This is a different running back than the ones that you faced. I would venture to say the most complete as far as catching the ball out the backfield and being able to run it. He's Adrian Peterson-like in his prime. He's Adrian Peterson-like. Listen to what I'm saying, people. Don't get in your feelings when I say, oh, he's not Adrian Peterson. I'm not saying he's Adrian Peterson. He's Adrian Peterson-like. Like, he can be physical. He can run physical. He's fast. He's athletic. And he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So this is going to be a huge test, especially coming off playing against a back like Sonny Michel. Sonny Michel showed you a lot.
Nick Chubb.
I got him mixed up. Look at me. We're messing up names today. But, yeah, like Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb showed me a lot. Showed me a lot in that game with the Cleveland Browns, like, you know, catching the ball out the backfield, running the ball. So, yeah, you're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah. Will the Falcons defense be more like they were against Saquon Barkley or more like they were against Nick Chubb?
Yeah, you got to tighten up. Got to tighten up against Chubb. Well, against Ezekiel Elliott. You got to tighten up against him.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. For everything that was Nick Chubb in that game and Baker Mayfield in that loss, really the Falcons still could have won the game if they had performed and executed on offense, and they just did not. I mean, they had as bad an offensive game as they've had since the opening game against Philadelphia, and let's hope that they can kind of clear those woes up. As we get to the Falcons, Ben Garland was talking a little bit about the mistakes they made against the Browns and how they have to correct those mistakes.
A lot of times you make your greatest success in your pushes, learning from your failures. So I think we can take it two ways. We can be a victim here or we can be a warrior, and we can look at it and say, how can we grow from this? What can we grow? And there's still a lot of season left, and I think we can take a lot from this, learn from it, and never make that mistake again.
Right, so that's kind of I like that soundbite. I want you to have that because it's a question I'm going to have for Dan Quinn. Is this going to define you or is it going to inspire you? Are you going to be mad and angry and come out and play angry football, which is exactly what I'm hoping they do on Sunday? Head coach Dan Quinn at 7:45 this morning. We'll continue our coverage of the NFL ahead of the interview with Coach. There's going to be no football in Mexico. We'll tell you why. The Chiefs and Rams are moving to Los Angeles and not playing in Mexico City. Big day, big Wednesday for the National Football League. For us, anyway, to go to Flowery Branch and see Deion Jones, Bruce Irvin, and all of the members of the Atlanta Falcons that are now on the 53-man roster. Whether Deion's going to be on the 45-man game day roster is another story. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Falcons and Cowboys coming up on Sunday. Of course, our coverage will begin with the Wait For Tailgate Show at 11 a.m. All through the day, the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. The Wait For Tailgate Show at 9 a.m., the Bud Light countdown to kickoff at 11, of course, kick at 1 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. If you can't make it to the game, because there are going to be god-awful number of Cowboys fans, can go to our official watch party. By the way, Cowboys fans, if you're going to the game, I can't stop you. However, what I can say is, if you want to go to the official watch party, just keep it kind of down low.
They're not going
to
do that.
You know.
They're loud and boisterous.
Taco Mac Prado off Roswell Road starting at noon. A lot of prizes, cheerleaders, Freddie the Falcon, and more. Taco Mac Prado starting at noon. But, yeah, just, you know, I just have this bad vision of a Cowboys chant going up at Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, they go deep. They're deep. Now you got to get Cowboys fans. They roll deep. Ain't half of them ain't never been to the Mecca, but they're still Cowboy fans. They swear up and down they're Cowboy fans. They ain't never been to the stadium, the new one nor the old one.
You know, one of the things that's kind of
that's just how they roll.
An untold story is how deep Falcons fans run. I mean, we heard them, you know, we've heard them on the road this year where they made a lot of noise in Cleveland.
I mean, Falcons fans travel well. I've had it well in going to Philadelphia. When I flew up there, a lot of Falcons fans on the flight. Real cool people. Shout out to my man Rio that went with us for the trip. Him and his lovely young lady friend. It was a great time. It was a great time. So yeah, Falcons fans. It was a lot of Falcons fans that stayed in our hotel that we stayed at. So yeah, it was pretty good.
Talking about the Falcons and the Cowboys, and of course some of the other stories and headlines in the NFL. The biggest game in the regular season is coming up, and it will not be in Mexico. It'll actually be back in Estados Unidos because Los Angeles, the City of Angels, is going to host the biggest regular season game of the year to this point. The Rams and the Chiefs, the two number one seeds, both 9-1 on the year. This could be a Super Bowl preview, too, before we get ahead of ourselves about the Swampers down there. Rams and Chiefs could be round one between these two. Who knows if we don't see them again in February here in Atlanta. That game originally scheduled to be played at Azteca Stadium in Mexico City has been moved by the NFL to the Coliseum in Los Angeles because of the condition of the field. And we saw the pictures. We talked about this yesterday, Hugh. If you Google it, just Google Azteca Stadium, Mexico City NFL, that kind of thing. If you want to see, because the pictures will pop up. They have I've never really heard of a hybrid field, which is part turf and part grass. But they've been having concerts. They have two soccer teams that play in there in the Mexican League, and everything else have been going on. That field is a disaster, and it's such a disaster. The NFL said there's no way that we are going to risk the health of our players on that field because they could just see broken ankles and knees. You're talking about the two number one seeds. I wouldn't put anybody on it. I wouldn't put the Raiders and Giants on it, let alone the two number one seeds in both the AFC and NFC. That field was just
yeah, you
pictures.
Know, it's, again, John, it was funny because I remember them talking about the field on Monday Night Football, and I guess that was a cut that they showed from, I guess, earlier in the day or earlier in the week or whatever, because it had the Monday Night Football moniker on the screen, and they were talking about how they were preparing the field for Monday Night Football. And then all of a sudden, you start hearing stories about the field is a mess. It's a trashy field. So, I mean, yeah, the bottom line at the end of the day, it's about the player safety. Especially when you're talking about potentially two Super Bowl representatives, and you don't want to get anybody. You really, I mean, you know, you can't control injuries in the NFL. You can't control that, but you don't want to put a team in harm's way that potentially could be a Super Bowl contender by putting them on that trashy field.
Well, the underlying factor that came out yesterday was that players from both teams were dropping a lot of hints about not wanting to go and play, and that they might boycott the game based on those field conditions. And so in addition to the fact that the NFL needed to make a quick decision for logistical situations, once the players started chiming in, you could rest assured that they had to do what they ended up doing and moving that game to Los Angeles.
And of course, for Kansas City, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily a negative here. They go from a neutral site to a home game for the L.A. Rams. So we'll see how kind of that affects things here.
Well, they're halfway there because they've been practicing in Denver because of the altitude that they expected to deal with in Mexico City.
Right, because Mexico City, like Denver, is 6,000 feet high or something like that. And so, this is probably the best move the NFL can make. It's too bad for Mexico. You were going to have the premium regular season game in the entire NFL not be played in the United States. There were going to be 120,000 fans at Azteca Stadium for this game.
But what's so funny to me, and I mentioned this to Hugh earlier, as much as the NFL is always trying to make sure that teams in the United States have the best stadiums and best conditions in the world, you mean to tell me it took that long to realize that place was a dump and that you wouldn't make this decision maybe a week or two earlier?
That's what kind of got me. And as of Monday night, now granted, I don't know if that was something that was taped earlier. It didn't look like it was taped earlier. They were working on that field as of Monday.
Hey, your chance to go see Sebastian Menek Scout Go is going to happen right now on Sunday at the Fox.
My wife likes different things. She likes shopping different places. She loves Whole Foods. That's her store. She sends me there every once in a while. Can't stand going there. It's weird. In the middle of the store, it changes. It goes from fruits and vegetables to soaps and potions. Nobody knows what they're doing in this section. You just kind of end up in there and going, wow, I don't recognize anything in here. I got to get out of here.
Two tickets to see, VIP tickets to see, pair tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco at the Fox Theater on Sunday. He's going to join us later in the show. 404-741-0929. The phone number, caller number four, gets two tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco at the Fox Theater. Next up, Dan Quinn joins us live with the head coach of the Falcons on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The biggest Bulldog tailgate in Georgia. The Dog Days Championship Tailgate Party, December 1st. Join us as we celebrate from noon to 4 at the Tabernacle.
DeAndre Swift, 84 yards.
The SEC plays here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Wednesday. Atlanta Falcons back to work. Dallas Cowboys coming to town on Sunday. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. with the Wave 4 Tailgate Show. 11 a.m., Bud Light Countdown to kick off with Mike Conney and Hugh Douglas at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And then 1 o'clock kick, Wes, Dave, and John Michaels as the Cowboys and Falcons. Winner will go to 5-5 and be very much alive. The loser is going to be in a whole world of hurt when it comes to the postseason. In just a couple of minutes, head coach Dan Quinn will join us live. And among the conversations, how do you bounce back from that Cleveland loss and about the return of Deion Jones, we'll see, you know, probably later in the week, you know, we'll see what coach has to say about, you know, whether Deion's on the 53, whether it'll be on the 45-man Sunday roster and active for the game or not. By the way, if I can just say this, in regards to Deion Hugh, Val McClure's article on ESPN.com about what Brian Urlacher had to say in regards to Deion Jones is a really good read. Urlacher thinks Jones is the best linebacker in the NFL in terms of how he loves watching him play and his impact. And if Brian Urlacher is saying that about you, I mean, not that we already didn't know his impact on the team, but it just kind of reiterates the point of what he means to this club.
Well, Deion is the new breed of linebacker. I mean, you look at Brian Urlacher and how he changed the game. I would even go like Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher as far as the versatility that you had to show. I played with a great linebacker in Jeremiah Trotter, but he was more of a throwback kind of guy. Mm-hmm. He was a guy that he would mug the center. We used to call him center killer. And he was a very physical player. The linebackers that are playing in the game nowadays, they have to be a little bit more versatile. Trot was the type of guy that we knew, like, on run plays, first and second down, Trot, you weren't running the ball with Trot in the middle. I mean, that's just what it was. But in the passing game, he was a little bit of a liability, so you had to pull him off the field. You had to get him off the field and get a linebacker out there that was a little bit more versatile as far as covering the passing game. So it kind of made you predictable as linebackers go. But Deion Jones is the type of linebacker that he has the ability that if you have to, and I don't think you want to do this a whole lot, I could feel comfortable putting him out there over a slot.
Mm-hmm.
He could cover the slot.
Mm-hmm.
He's versatile enough that he can get back to the zone. He can play man-to-man. He can do all of that. He can do all of the things that you need your linebacker to do, and he can come in there and he can plug a hole. So that's the ability that he's displayed. And he's not that big. He's not like a Jeremiah Trotter size linebacker. He's a smaller guy. He looks like a safety back.
Yeah, he really does kind of look. I was about to say he looks a little bit like a safety, which, interestingly enough, when Urlacher was in college at New Mexico, he was a first-team All-American. He was a safety. It was the Bears who made Urlacher into a linebacker. And so Deion Jones comes in as this kind of new breed linebacker, like Kamal Ishmael, a little like, I guess when Keanu's healthy, you could put Keanu into a linebacking kind of role. And we think about the impact that Deion Jones has had in the two critical interceptions against no less than the
Northern Saints.
You know, the one down there where he took it to the house, what was like 86 yards or something in his rookie year, and then the game-saving, leaping over the back of his head interception in the end zone of Drew Brees, and how much Deion Jones would have meant to the team had he been available for the first game against New Orleans, and now will he play against Dallas? And certainly we hope that he's ready to go Thursday night down in the swamp, because we want him to play. He is the Saints killer, and even the G-E-O-U-X Saints fans know this, right? I mean, they know that he is the guy.
He's a good player. He's right? a special player. No question about that.
Yeah, because
no
the
question.
LSU thing. And, of course, another big part of the topic of conversation will be about what Ben Garland said. And coming off of what Devondre Campbell said in regards to, you know, Devondre talking about the lack of energy and the step backwards, even reiterated by coach, and then Ben Garland saying, look, we can either be a victim or we could take this and run with it. You know, because that's really your two choices.
Yeah, that's all you got, John. I mean, you know, you have built up all of this sweat equity over the last few weeks, and then you regressed. You lost a little bit of that against the Cleveland Browns. Now, my question would be, what are you doing to get that back? I mean, it's getting kind of late in the season. There's only so much you can do, but I'd be curious to see what are you doing to get all of that back? Because to a man, for a player to say that right after the game, that was pretty cool. I mean, in the sense that, you know, you spoke up, you knew you didn't play well, and you're owning it. And now, how do you handle your week of work? I mean, I've been in a few games like that where, you know, you just go out there and you don't play well for whatever reason, and you have a whole week to stew on that. And you go out there and practice, and you got to do the little things right. You know, you run the drills right. You make sure that you don't have any MEs on your assignments and things of that nature. So it's going to be curious to see how coach said that his team responded after, you know, they basically admitted that, you know, they probably took the Cleveland Browns a little light.
Falcons and the Cowboys Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and we welcome to 92.9 The Game on the WayForward.com hotline, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn.
Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning to you. Good morning, John.
You know, Coach, you said yourself that the team took a step back on Sunday. What are you doing to get these guys back on track?
Well, number one, we run right back to the process of getting ready, and I know you've heard me say that it's deeper than words. You know, it's all the stuff that goes into getting ready. Game plan, the learning, you know, getting your body right, getting your technique right. So we run right back to it. And so that's what's nice about the game week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Each kind of has its own preparation part, theme to it, you know, how to get right. And so that's what we're right back to.
Talking with Dan Quinn about the Falcons and the Cowboys and, of course, rehashing what happened in Cleveland.
You know, Coach, we were real excited when we saw Deion Jones on that 53-man roster. How cautious are you going to be with him working him back this week?
Well, we're going to take great care of him, number one, because he is so important. So I think the best, you know, way to go about it, Hugh, is let's take him all the way through a full week where, you know, he can, you know, really get ready to play. And so we won't have any updates, you know, for a while. So that way we can take it all the way through the week. And when he's ready to go, that's when we'll, you know, make him active. So until that time, you know, we're not going to put him out there until he's 100% ready.
All right, we understand the 100% ready thing. Since the topic is there, let's go ahead and expound on it, even though it's early. What about the health of the team? Are we seeing Matt Bryant back anytime soon? Anybody else we need to be brought up to speed on?
Yeah, I think there's a chance with Matt. He's going to kick on Thursday. And so after practice Thursday, I think we'll have a good assessment of where he's at. He'll take his, you know, full load, and he's definitely close. So he's chomping at the bit to get going. But, you know, we'll take it through Thursday. That's the day that he normally kicks, John. So we'll take it through that day, and I'll have a good, you know, assessment for you by the weekend. Or, excuse me, after Thursday's practice.
And anybody else are we looking at, or are we pretty much, you know, as close as you can be to I guess, Coach, with season-ending injuries, let's call it full health.
That's right. And so that's, you know, been, you know, something that, you know, when you, after a game, you have a chance to assess where the team's at and health-wise. So we're in pretty good shape heading into today's practice and this week's game. And that's always a good thing.
It is always a good thing. We're talking with head coach Dan Quinn, getting ready for the Falcons and the Cowboys on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Ben Garland came out and talked about, you know, some of the reaction that we got from you and from Devondre and other people after the Cleveland game about the fact that you can use that as a moment where everybody kind of goes, oh, no, or you can play the victim, or you can use that as a rallying cry. Do you get a sense of urgency now that from this point forward, every game is like a playoff game for this team?
You know, the mindset and the attitude every time you go, brother, you got to bring all you got. And we know this matchup, although the two records of the teams aren't good. Think about all the battle that's going to go for. So we're really excited for this game and for us to have a chance after, you know, a couple weeks on the road to be back home. You can bet, you know, we're ready to get rolling in a big way.
You know, Coach Ezekiel Elliott, how does he compare to the running backs that you face, like a Saquon Barkley, Adrian Peterson, and a Nick Chubb. Where does he rank in the hierarchy of running backs that you've went against this year?
Sure. I would say, much like Barkley, I guess probably that'd be the first way to start, where he's a factor in the run game and the pass game. So I believe he's their second leading receiver. So to have, you know, that many catches, it's screens, it's shots down the field, he's out of the backfield. But from a running standpoint, I would say one of the things that he has that patience, you to wait for it and then explode and hit the hole. So those are the things I've noticed about him. He can take the handoff. He's almost waiting for that block to set up, and then the explosion happens. He sticks his foot in the ground and goes. So those are the things. I think his vision and his patience really sets him apart. And then I would say, just like the other guys in the run game, and then he's as much a factor in the pass game as well.
Yeah, it was interesting to have you guys have Coach Quinn joining us. Such success in corralling Saquon and Adrian Peterson, and then to have Nick Chubb, you know, do what he did last week here.
Yeah, it was definitely something that, a long run like that, we got to get him down. And so those were the ones that it's hard to recover from. And when that happens, we go right back to it and make sure we got our technique and everything aligned like we want to. So that's what we got
to
do.
Yeah, back to technique here. Let's talk about technique in terms of the last time you faced Dallas, they didn't have Zeke Elliott, and you were able to get to Dak Prescott a lot in that game. Baker Mayfield wanted to get the ball out of his hands quickly. We understand that. I mean, is it a chance maybe this week that that pass rush you're hoping now with Bruce Irvin now getting his feet underneath him and with Tack and with Vic that you can affect the quarterback this week?
Yeah, we certainly hope so. But it really comes down to, you know, playing us, you know, better on first and second downs to create some of those moments where our third downs are longer and the 2 minutes to go. So, you know, each game's different and each matchups are, like you had, you know, mentioned earlier, you know, different teams, different players, but, you know, every week, you know, we're kind of looking to dig into that topic and hopefully have some more chances to, you know, get our pass rush up and going, you know, certainly with the addition of Bruce into the mix.
You know, Coach, you talk about being different players and everything like that. How is Dak different this year as opposed to the quarterback that you faced last year?
Yeah, I'd say, I think, number one, he's, you know, completing at a high percentage. Certainly with Amari there, he's been somebody that has a lot of targets as well. He's kind of good at all the routes, Hugh. Like he, you know, with a steep ball, crossing routes, you know, he can, you know, work inside and break guys off. So I think that's probably, you know, a significant help. But back to Dak, you know, the ability for him to create two plays, you know, the first play starts and then he can break outside the pocket and now a second play just begins. So I think those are things as a defense that you have to prepare for, you have to practice. And then in the run game, you know, he has an option element to him as well. So truly a dual threat quarterback this week who can extend plays. And we've certainly played guys who do that, and we'll have to rely on some of that experience as well to make sure you're prepared when the second play and he scrambles out that you know, you're ready to plaster onto your guys and keep on going.
Dan Quinn joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Last week, so many of those things that you had worked on that you had excelled at or on offense, you know, gotten so much better, third down, red zone, short yardage, really they kind of reared their heads against Cleveland, especially, you know, the third down and the short yardage. You know, you're addressing these kind of things here, you know, when you're talking about a half yard away from a goal and how frustrating it must have been for this offense to, you know, be out of balance at 52 passes, 19 rushes and whatnot. A focal point this week to try and get those, you know, third and shorts and those red zone stuff, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, for sure the red zone, you know, is a spot that we've made significant progress in third down as well. So, you know, we intend to get right back to, you know, the things that have made us successful in that spot. We've got a good scheme for it. We know what to do. So now we got to go and execute that plan really well. So Dallas has a good red zone defense. They're one of the top, you know, defenses in that spot. And we perform well in that area too. So those are some of those matchups that are the games within the game. We certainly got out of balance from our run pass, but that happens when you're down like we were in the third quarter or towards the end of the third quarter, where you have to do whatever you have to do in that game to try to win. So as we go back to it, you know, that one's behind us, and all of our focus, all of our attention is just about kicking ass and playing as good as we can this weekend, you know, against Dallas. And like I said earlier, just, you know, the fact that we get to come back home after a couple weeks on the road, that's a good thing for us and for the fans.
We're joined by Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, establishing the run early and getting back into that balance and being able to go. Coach, there was a moment in the game last week, and Dave Archer talked about it on a couple of occasions where it seemed as though, and I'm not trying to bag the referees, but there was one referee who kept getting kind of in the way from, you know, standing over the ball and was not letting you guys snap it and get into the kind of rhythm you wanted to go at. I would imagine if you can get into – it seems to me if you can get back into that pace, that would be a good thing, right?
Yeah, and Matt does such a good job of knowing when to go in and out of tempo, whether it was down the goal line trying to get a sneak to get going or where we can get no huddle and get on the ball. So it's a big part of what we do within a drive. Sometimes we'll get moving and get going. Other times we'll huddle up and go. So it's just different ways to attack. And I was excited to see, you know, the different ways that we can. You know, after you've gone through now 9 games, there's a number of different packages that we use, a number of different, you know, it's run game, it's play pass, it's screens, it's Matt outside the pocket on the move. So there's a lot to deal with when you, you know, compete against our offense, and we can't wait to get back out on the field again.
If I can, one final thing here, Coach, just at the end of the interview, go back to the beginning. The disappointment of Cleveland, is it morphed into anger, into, you know, commitment, into resolve? What do you get a sense right now?
Well, number one, John, like, we don't try to let it ride too high and too low. We have a real process we go through to get ready. Were we disappointed post-game? You bet we were. And Monday we came in, told the truth about what happened, and made our corrections, and now we're on to Dallas. Because if your focus and your intensity is not right for what you need to get done for this week, then you know you're going to lose that, you know, that preparation time and all that goes into getting ready. So for us, it's full speed ahead, all our preparation on Dallas.
Coach, appreciate your taking a few minutes. We look forward to seeing you a little bit later.
All right, have a good one.
Go get them, Coach.
I had Coach Dan Quinn on the WaveForward.com hotline this morning. Yeah, and I understand that. I mean, it is, you've got to go forward here, but it is interesting. I certainly hope you, and let's just begin there with the fact that the Falcons come out little bit angry, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. We're going to break down what Dan Quinn said in just a moment. This is the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.